The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
I hear what the Lord said I should say. What is yours will not be taken. That fight over what is yours, that fight over possession, what is rightfully yours, will not be taken. I heard the Lord say, He will maintain your lot. He will maintain your lot. He will preserve that which is yours. In the name of Jesus. He will preserve that which is yours. Whatever that is operating in your house, or in your body, that is not of God, is hereby ejected now. Whatever that has been in operation in your house, and for many of you, your body that has not been planted by God is hereby uprooted. Is hereby uprooted. Is hereby uprooted. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That which has been moving around in your body, that movement stops now. That movement around your body, that moving thing you feel your body, that movement and whatever it represents, it ceases right now. In the name of Jesus. We break the yoke of wickedness over anybody's family here. Where there's been an orchestration of wickedness, that is brought to an end now. In the name of Jesus. May the mighty hand of the Lord arise over your home. And arise over your affairs. And arise over what is yours. I give you back your mind. I give you back your job. I give you back your marriage. I give you back your peace. In the name of Jesus. I give you back that contract. That which is the bad slipping out of your hand is thereby restored. And the Lord preserves all that is yours. In the name of Jesus. Every issue that has to do with the legs, every issue that has to do with the legs, there is healing this moment. And I rebuke you, devil, terrorizing these legs with pain, some of you with sores, in the name of Jesus. I eject that thing you've put in those legs. In the name of Jesus. Total restoration. Total restoration. In the name of Jesus. May what is lost be restored. May what is about missing be preserved. In the name of Jesus. What you are going at, we walk. What you are going for, we walk. What you are working on, we walk. In the name of Jesus. Lord has put that spirit of possibility upon everyone here. That from this January, the dreams in your heart will turn to reality. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord will not let your enemy rejoice over you. I heard that in my spirit. The Lord will not let your enemy rejoice over you. I said the Lord will not let your enemy rejoice over you. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and just pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes.
The enemy came, but Jehovah. The enemy came, but Jehovah. You are the reason why we're still standing. Jehovah, Jehovah, the enemy came, but Jehovah.
Do it again. The enemy came.
The enemy came, but Jehovah. The enemy came, but Jehovah. You are the reason why I'm still standing.
Ooh.
Jehovah, Jehovah. The enemy came, but Jehovah. The enemy came, but Jehovah. You are the reason why I'm still standing. Jehovah.
Micah 7 verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O my enemies. He said, when I fall, I shall rise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. NLT said, do not gloat over me, my enemies. For though I fall, I will rise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. The Lord will not let the enemies rejoice over you. That which was meant for evil will now be turned around for good. For yes, they sent you to Egypt for slavery. But the Lord has now turned it for good. The Lord has now found a way to work out his purpose through all of that. The Lord is giving you victory. The Lord is giving you victory. I said, 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 the Lord is giving you victory.
There are
two persons here that the Lord spoke to you specifically about this service, that there is a special package for you in this service. This particular, some of you, the Lord spoke to you specifically about that. In this service, there are two of them that is a special. If you're there, just around, I want to see you. There are actually two of them. I'm praying for you. That package just arrived. That package just arrived. It shall be fulfilled desires, fulfilled dreams, fulfilled dreams, realm of possibilities, realm of possibilities, realm of possibilities. That which the enemy planned will not come to pass. I heard it again. I will not let your enemies gloat over you. I will not let them rejoice over you. I will not let them laugh over you. I will not let them say, where is your God? And that situation in your life that has been causing enemies to say, I thought you were a believer, where is your God? That has now come to an end now. He will not. The rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the righteous. The rod of the wicked shall rest upon the righteous. Hey! The agenda of faith shall not find its fulfillment upon the righteous. Yes. Yes. Whatever this means for you. The enemy came, but Jehovah. The enemy came, but Jehovah. You are the reason why I am still standing. The enemies came, but Jehovah. The enemies came, but Jehovah. You are the reason why I'm still standing.
Jehovah, Jehovah.
Disappointments came, but Jehovah. Frustration came, but Jehovah. You are the reason why I'm still standing.
Jehovah.
Tribulations came, but Jehovah. Tribulations came, but Jehovah. You are the reason why I'm still standing. Jehovah.
Jehovah.
And challenges came, but Jehovah. Hey,
but Jehovah.
You are the reason why I'm still standing.
Jehovah, 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 Jehovah.
Read again.
Listen, the Lord gave me three verses for you before I start teaching. Psalm 46, verse 3, verse 4, and 5. He said, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. He said, there is a river. That's what I heard in my spirit. I heard there is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. He said, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. He said, God shall help her. And that's right. Let me read it to you with the NLT. He said, a river. It's verse 3. It says, let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God. And I saw that river flowing your direction. I saw that river flowing your direction. It's a river that maketh glad. It's the sacred home of the Most High. He said, God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. He said, from the very break of day, God will protect it. And I'm telling you, that river has flowed your direction this morning. And you are that city that cannot be destroyed. Amplified said, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. That river has flowed your direction now. You shall now be much more glad. God will help you right early. So he said, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. My God. He said, God will help me. Right early. Now the thing about it is, friends, God has never been late. And I just feel someone needed to hear that word this morning. He arrived at the tomb of Lazarus 4 days after. But that was early. Are you following what I'm saying now? He met the widow who they were carrying the child to go bury. The child was already dead. But that was still early. Whenever he comes is the time. And that's why it doesn't matter how bad it is looking. Once God arrives, time starts counting. And I tell you, God has begun to help you. Very early. Very, very early. Very, very early. This week, there will be good news. Yes. Now, write this and expect it. This week, at least one good news that will make you scream will come to your life and family this week. This week, like this week now. At least one good news that will make you scream. That will make you remember. You know, the good news could be anything. It could be that you will get to the hospital and that sickness that's been in your body will no longer be found. It could be a call from home that the trouble you left at home has just left when you left. And I spoke to someone now. As we are trying to come back, there was a lot going on at home. You just came back because you had to come back. This week you will get a call that when you left, the trouble followed you. Not like followed your place, it left with you too. Some of you, the good news may be a new job this week. Some of you, it will be a new contract this week. That is one of you here, it will be a forgotten debt. Something someone owed you is owing you. The person has forgotten it. You are no longer talking about it. But suddenly from nowhere, the debt will come in. This week. One good news at least. If you have faith, you can have three. But at least one this week. At least one this week. This one is whether you have faith or not. It's by the word of the prophet. At least one good news this week. But if your faith stretches for it, you can have three. But at least one good news this week. And angels have gone forth to make sure it happens. And it cannot fail. It cannot fail. The enemies came, but Jehovah.
But Jehovah, you are the reason why I'm still standing. Jehovah is Jehovah. The enemies came, but Jehovah. The enemies came, but Jehovah. You are the reason why I'm still standing.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord has risen to help you. Do we celebrate in this place for a moment? Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's a new day. It's a new day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. I'm seeing you for the first time now. How are you doing? Glory to God. Can I walk around and look for one or two persons? And what do we say to them this morning? Something really cool. How many of you know that this year you are breaking forth by the Spirit and power? Are you sure of that? Amen. Amen. Some of you, you know, one of the things the Lord will do for us mightily in this ministry this year is there's going to be a lot of marital breakthroughs. And I say this by God and all of that. Marital breakthroughs. For many of you, relationships will start. For many of you, and if you, I'm talking about serious relationships. And many of you that have been in relationships and the issue is money. There's going to be a financial miracle this year. Many of you, it will bring stability your way. If I had a couple of you saying, I want to marry, but it's going to be next 2 years because you're checking your pocket. Before August, you are waiting set. I'm telling you. It's been one of our major prayer points, mom and I, as a family, for like since last year. And I'm telling you, this year we're going to walk into it. Many of you now. Many of you. I'm telling you, you know, I don't pray this kind of prayer always. But I'm telling you, God put it in my heart and it's going to happen. Just believe God for it. I'm not talking to the ladies alone. Whenever I talk about marriage, talk to ladies. I'm talking to everybody. The men, the women, believe God for it. I believe God for my marriage. I prayed to marry. So believe God. You can marry by the anointing. Shout a loud amen this morning. God bless you. What else is God doing for you this year? As what is God doing for you this year? Anything you say is correct. What else is God doing for you this year? Anything you say is okay. Whether you say you are getting married or you are. What else is God doing for you this year? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you hear what your neighbor said? Let's try it again. What else is God doing for you this year? Listen to your neighbor. Glory to God. Amen. Even travel plans will materialize this year. And I say this, some of the people you are seeing starting this year with us, by the end of the year, they'll be out of this country. And that's not because being out of the country is a big deal. That's because for many of them, that is what God wants them to do. I don't really see traveling as a miracle. Nigeria is also a good place. And that's practically true. What makes somewhere good or bad for you is whether it is the will of God for you. You can travel and come back broke. You know, so if you travel, you see they send you money. You can travel and see they send you money to support you. You see now. So what makes somewhere good or bad is whether it's costly for you. For many of you, that's the destination God is leading you to. I tell you, by December this year, you will not be here. Amen. Because this year, by hook or by crook, you must align to God's will. What do you mean by hook or crook, sir? Whether you go in deliberately or we drag you into it, you must do the will of God for your life this year. You must walk in God's plan for your life this year. Say it about me. Say, I must walk in God's plan for. Say, Father, I will walk in your plan for my life. Help me to align. Help me get it right. And when I'm missing it, raise men that will drag me into it. Do you believe that you just said now? Well, God will do it. Those men will appear. One of them have been raised. I'm here. With Cain. You will do God's way this year. And many of you, it will start from this morning. It may start from leaving that job you are doing or leaving that relationship you are in. It might start from somewhere. I'm very serious. Say amen. It might start by picking up PGTI from after this service. That's God's way for your life. It might start by being more serious with your work in your department. That's God's way for your life. So this year we're doing God's way for our life, right? Either we get in there deliberately, or they use skin and flog you into the will of God. At the end of the day, you'll be in God's will. I saw you in God's will. That by the end of this year, you are in God's. I don't know how you got there, but you are there. Either you walked in deliberately. You know, for real, when you have animals, I'm not saying an animal, but the Bible calls us sheep. And that's okay. When you have animals, sometimes you expect them to enter their pen by themselves. Now, when they do, it's okay. If they don't, what do? You force them into their pen. You know why? Because you really care about those animals. You know that if you expose them like that, they're going to get into trouble. So somehow God is going to get us to align to His will. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated. You've been standing for a few minutes. Like How many minutes now? Amen. This morning, I'm continuing with my teaching on plans and purposes. You know, I've not really gotten into this teaching properly. I've just been trying to prepare your heart for it. So today, we'll begin to touch a few things. God has a plan for your life. Are you aware of that? And you've got to find that plan every step on the way. The past two sessions, we've tried to show you how you have to, last time we were showing you how you have to posture your heart, right? So always find divine leading. Amen. And last time we are looking at how that you can, you know, live a spirit-filled, spirit-led life such that it will always be easy for you to pick divine leadings. You know, one thing I'd like you to know is that God wants to lead you. In fact, God is always leading you. I don't believe that a believer, for instance, should be taught how to get God to speak to him, how to make God speak to you. I don't think you need that teaching. The teaching believers need is how to recognize the voice of God speaking to them. Because God is always speaking, God is always leading. What we need training and teaching on how we will align ourselves, you see now, to what God is already doing. Are you following me now? So that's why we're doing all of this teaching. So one of the greatest desires you must have this year is that you walk in God's plan for your life. And not just what happens once in a while. I mean, every day of your life. One of the things I told you, I said, how to eventually get to where God is taking you to. Now, hear this and don't miss it. I've said it many times. I want to repeat it again. It's not just by knowing where God is taking you to. That's not all there is to it. Because knowing where God is taking you to is not enough. There is need for you to follow His plan every step on the way. I give you an example. If you are traveling to, I use that example a lot, you're traveling to Lagos. You already know the destination. The destination is Lagos. You already know. There is no doubt about that. But you know, the thing about it is that you still don't know the way to Lagos. Knowing where you are going is not enough. It's a start. Some of you just pray and God tells you, in the next, you know, I want to make you this and make you that. And you're just excited. Knowing that is not enough. For you to eventually get to that place, there is need to now use your Google map. Right? And then you hear, when you get to this junction, turn right. I get to the point. When you get to this place, take the roundabout. Take the first exit by the right. What is happening? You are now following the step, the plan, every step on the way. That's how you finally get where you're going to. So, the believer that just knows that God has big plans for me, God wants to make me this, and does not learn how to follow His will and His leading every step on the way, will still not get to where God wants to take him to. Or he may get there very late. Because trial and error, you miss your way, then you turn back, you miss your way. That has been the story of many people. That's why it looks like where God is taking many people to is very far. It's actually not that far. Just that we've not learned to follow it in every step on the way. Are you following what I'm saying now? So knowing that God wants to, for instance, I use ministry, I always use that. Knowing that God wants to make you, that God has ordained you to be a great evangelist. It's okay. It's okay to be excited when you hear that. But it's not enough. Now, how will you become a great evangelist? How will it happen? Who will teach you? Who will mentor you? When will that even be? So there is need to always follow that leading every step on the way. Day one, what are we doing today? Day two. So there is need to find how to follow God's leading. Do you know, if God has planned that you're going to Lagos, one wrong turn can redirect you forever. Such that if you want to turn back, it will take a lot. Imagine you want to go to Lagos and then you start approaching, if you're going from Enugu here, you are going by road. You start approaching maybe Oka, and then you enter your right or your left and start moving down. Or you enter Izinifite. Start moving down. You just move and move and move. I know Izinifite. I've been there. I was there last year. Went to marry. Can you see now? Now, you never go to where you're going to. Now, if you ever get there, you have to catch yourself and turn back. There are no two ways about it. You have to turn back and get back to that express. Now, I'm trying to tell you, many people, this is the issue. They've made some wrong turns in their lives. And those wrong turns have become the reason that it looks like they're moving farther away from God's plan for their lives. Let me bring it home to the spiritual. Let me use ministry again. God has ordained, God wants you to become a great evangelist. And on your journey, one of the turns he wants you to make on your journey is to join this church or get close to this brother so that he will teach you and mentor you for like 2 years. But when that time comes, you refuse, or you didn't even find out, or you didn't even, maybe that brother did something you did not like and you got angry with him. He said, to hell with you. I get to the point. Then after 2 years, that brother is done with what he came to do. He's still in the church, but then he has relocated maybe to Australia to do another thing. You know, you've missed that opportunity. God can bring it again, maybe in another form, another person, but that will take you, will waste your time. So it's always good that you find out, and this I'm telling, it applies to everything. Take it away from ministry. If God has said this year is going to be a great year, that by the end of this year you would have had five more branches of your business and all of that, you have to still follow him every step on the way. There are days he will tell you to register for this course. Are you following what I'm saying now? There are days he will tell you to talk to this brother. You have to follow him. If you miss it, you might get to the end of the year, start complaining. But God promised me, I didn't see it. There is need to follow the leading of the Spirit every step on the way. If you are going to eventually get where God is taking you to, and if you're going to get there fast, delay will do more harm to you. Is anyone following me this morning at all? It will. And so there is need that you find out how God leads. That's why the last two sessions I was trying to teach you on how to posture your heart and keep yourself in a state where it's always very easy to pick God's leading when it comes. Because that's really possible. You know, the thing the believer must realize is that God is always speaking to him. It's when he realizes it. And I hope this session, this series will make it easier for you. One of my commitments to you that Lord spoke to me about, and I will do that till Jesus comes, except he tells me to stop, is that at least once every year, I'm going to bring a teaching on this. Have you observed? At least once every year. Two major areas I believe a believer should master if he's going to succeed in life, both spiritually, ministry, and in life as a person. You must master the subject of divine leading and the subject of faith. These two subjects. If you don't master the subject of divine leading and faith, you will struggle a lot. Because even to follow divine leading, you still need faith. Are you following what I'm saying now? And to be able to exercise your faith, you need divine leading. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. Are you following me this morning? So you must master those two subjects. So part of my commitment to you as a pastor is that at least once every year I must bring a teaching along these lines. So I expect that sometime this you are going to do a teaching on faith. If not more than once or five times, self. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. It's very important. I don't have a book on faith. I have a book on this subject, which is our book for the month. You can get it at the bookstand. You should get it actually. It's called How to Find the Will of God for Your Life and Everyday Living. Get that book. And one of these, God will allow us, I have that living already. It's just for me to organize myself to do it. To have a book, a solid material on faith. Walking by faith. Are you following what I'm saying? I have teachings on that too. What are they? I have School of Faith. Huh? There is faith, foolishness or presumptions. There is faith boosters. All those teachings will change your life. If you don't master these two areas, all this divine leading, people get into trouble because of it. So you have to know how God leads and how to follow that leading. And I will not do a recap, because if I try to do a recap, we might not go today. But I want to begin to address a few things. The first thing you have to note, some of this I'm talking about, I discussed them in the book. So if you've read that book, it will make more sense to you. There is a way God does not lead. I think we have to start with that. Because before you know what something is, you have to know what it is not. Right? So there is a way God does not lead. And if you try to find God through how he doesn't lead you, you won't find him. Many people don't realize that you are, say I'm a spirit. Say it. Now, you do not have a spirit. You are primarily a spirit. I'm not talking about the believer in Christ. Every man is a spirit. I get the point. Every man is a spirit. Every man has a soul. Every man lives in a body. The real you is the spirit. Now, when you now get born again, I'll still explain this shortly. That your spirit, man, which everybody has, your own now comes alive. Because it becomes one with God's spirit. Now, it is true that your spirit that God wants to talk to you, that God wants to lead you. So one of the wrong ways to try to find God, for instance, is through your emotions. Your emotions. God does not lead through emotions. What do I mean by that? Some people, you want to do something and you become afraid. You say, I've just been so scared of doing this. Maybe God is not leading me to do it. You cannot use fear to find whether it's God's will or not. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying now? For all you care, the fear might just be a function of your flesh. You can't use fear. God doesn't lead you through emotions. You can't use happiness. He said, I wanted to do, I'm just excited about this. I know this is God. Why do you know it's God? Because you are happy? Have you not found out that whenever you want to do anything new, it comes with excitement at some point. And later it comes with fear. Have you tried any new vision in your life? These two emotions must be there. First, when it drops in your mind, you're just excited, man. You're writing. You say, man, this is going to be great. We step, we strategize, we go forth, we market, we strategize, then we reach 10 people, we get them, we go again. That excitement is there. Then, after some time, we start thinking about it deeply. You know what follows now? Fear. Say, what if we now strategize and move the market and it doesn't move? So those two emotions, you can't use them to know whether it's God or not. And the thing about fear and about happiness is that anything can influence it. Anything can influence it. You know, you try to start selling a cracker business. If you start selling a cracker, what's a cracker in English? Thrift. You know, two things can happen. If you meet someone who has been in the business for long, and you share with the person, and the person says, this business sells very well. In the past two years, I've made over 17 million. You leave that place excited, hopeful. Now, if you had met someone else who said, Okreka business, it's for the strong hearted, though. If your mind no rich, no poor body, let me tell you, this last one I bought, I've not sold a thing. You know, you leave that place afraid. So anything can influence your happiness or your fear. That cannot be how God leads anybody. Are you following the point? So you cannot say, well, I'm sure God wants me to do this. Why? Because I'm just so happy about it. Just like you're trying to travel. You really cannot know whether it's God's will for you to travel or not because you are afraid or because you are not afraid. Anything can make you afraid. If 2 days before you plan to travel, you began to see news, kidnappers kidnapped 30 people along that road, fear is going to grip you. That fear is not a pointer to anything. If anything, it's a pointer to the devil trying to invade your heart. So you can't say, well, the way I was afraid, I was just so sure it was not God's will. You can't use that. For all you care, you might be afraid and it is still God's will. I guess what I'm saying now. I was also afraid before I started pastoring you. I'm still afraid sometimes. But I'm still in God's will for my life. I get what I'm saying now. You can't use fear to judge. You can't use excitement to judge. Let me run ahead of myself. You can't even use circumstances to judge. You know, this is why people get into this particular one a lot. They want to know God's will by weighing the circumstances. Some of you, this teaching is coming as a reminder. Some of you as a refresher. Some of you, it's coming new. You can't use circumstances to judge. What do I mean by that? You can't say, well, you know, okay, I'll give you an example. I always tell this story. When I was rounding up my school, you know, I went to preach for a man of God, an older man of God. He's late now. So I went to preach for him. And that meeting was so powerful. I think I went with you to that meeting. I went with my brother to that meeting. And the meeting was so powerful. We even had someone that was totally blind. And the eyes opened. The person began to see. It was such a supernatural atmosphere. I went with you and someone else. I can't remember who. It was such a supernatural atmosphere. We finished. And that I was just finishing school. You know, when you're trying to finish school, you're thinking of left or right. Because it means that you're now on your own. So this man meets me in the office and is very excited. Very sincere man. I said, you know, I was just so blessed. I've never such grace. You remind me of, you know, the intensity and the passion we had as younger people. I said, oh, thank you. He now said, I want you to come and pastor with me. He said, I want to open, we are opening a branch in Enugu. He said, that branch, there is already a house, not like my house now, but at least a house where I'm going to live. A flat they've paid, they want to pay for. And they're going to give me a car. Are you following me? So I have a car, I have a house, and I have a congregation. I was just leaving school. That is God of breakthrough. But I didn't take it to. I didn't even go home to pray. Right there. I said, wow, thank you, Sam. Thank you for the faith you have in me and faith you have in our ministry. But that's not the path God is leading me. You can't use good to determine that it is God. The offer looked tempting, at least at that time. No matter the car they would have given, it would have been good. Even if it is God too, it would have still been good. Because at the time, I didn't have a house. My house rent was expiring. And you want to hear that immediately I rejected that offer, I went to him and I got 10 million. After I rejected that offer, I went through over 7 years of intense lack. Did you hear what I said? Is this 7 years or 4 to 5 years? It's not, okay. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. It's not 7 years old. Intense lack. And houselessness. You know what I mean, houselessness? Yeah. Now, do you think, sometimes I used to wonder, what if I just accepted this man? Oh. You can't use such things to judge. Because, you know, I shared this story in the book. When my pastor came to Lagos, they were in Ife. When they initially wanted to come to Lagos to come start a church. I think, can I remember the story very well? They came, they did a meeting. As they were about to go back, somebody called them and handed a car gift to him. He said, the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm happy with you. I'm happy with this man. Give him this car. And he thought that would have been God saying, he said, they collected the car, they were just happy. As they were about to go, God said, it's not yet time to Lagos. Go back to Ife. It's not time for Lagos, rather. Go back to Ife. So they stayed in Ife for like 3 or 4 more years. Are you following what I'm saying now? Yes. You can't use, because they are processing your papers and China visa is going, doesn't mean that's the plan of God for your life. Please let me tell somebody. Because China visa is going, does not mean it's the plan of God for your life. What is that visa? It's not only China. Australia. I've been using because Australia visa, they go. Doesn't mean that's the plan of God for your life. You know, many people that had the United States as God's plan for their life have changed it because of the new Trump laws, the new laws that the government has brought in. Now, where is the new plan for their life now? Canada. Then, if Canada comes up with their laws, you soon come to my village. Don't worry. You find where you go. That's not how to judge it. You can't use good or bad to determine the plan and the will of God. I've been caught in this kind of situations a couple of times. When I finished secondary school, I got scholarship to travel abroad to go study. But it wasn't God's plan for my life. Don't look at me like that. I feel what I'm saying. I've got an admission that I turned down because it wasn't God's plan for my life. I get the point. Sometimes I used to wonder, I used to ask the Lord, why do you bring these things if you know that? Again, but if you know you don't want me to have them, why are you bringing them? What you don't realize is, you know, I normally tell my people, whatever you go for and you desire, you are going to have. God will fulfill your heart desire because God loves you. But it doesn't mean that everything he gives you is that he wants you to have it. Are you following me? If I let me even add something else, there are things that even the devil, good things that the devil will join to orchestrate for you. You know that some of you that your desire is that this year you're going to be very committed to the church. You're going to, this year I will serve God. Even God will be sure that I'm serving him that way. One of the things that will happen is midway into the year, you get a big job that will demand that for 3 months you've not been to church. Now, that is still not God's miracle. You have to realize that. Because God will not give you a miracle that will take you away from him. Some things are very simple. That's one of the things you have to realize. You have to learn, for instance, you have to learn God's word, God's character, God's standard. I might address that maybe next time. Because if you know God's word, God's character, God's standard, it's very easy for you to know that this is God or this is not God. The fact that you want to get married and then there is a young man coming and he's actually very wealthy. Not every wealthy young man is the will of God for your life. That's the truth. And I can even help you because you really don't know the future. You really don't know the future. And I want to say that again. You don't know the future. You don't know the appointments that brother has with debt. I'll be very frank with you. You don't know the appointment he has with poverty in his future. So you could just marry him rich, and after some time he begins to misbehave. You don't know if he has family somewhere. You don't know if he's going to have family later. You really don't know any of these things. But there is God that knows. So not every good is God. That's why there is no way you can share something with me and I say, wow, that's so beautiful. That must be God. I don't talk like that. Unless there is a click like that in my spirit, then I will know. And if you don't learn, I'm saying this to some of you, if you do not learn how to find God's will for your life, just following what is good. What if you are presented with 3 good things? 3 exceptionally good things. 3 jobs. The pay is the same thing, 1.5 million. The proximity is the same thing from your house. The same job description. Just that there are 3 different companies. Which one will you go for? If really you have to pray, because you don't know the one that will close down next week. Are you following me now? Not every good is God. Now, I'm not saying that God is not good. I'm saying not every good is God. Are you what I'm talking about? God is good. God will give you good things. He will give you perfect things. He will give you beautiful things. But you cannot rely on good or bad as in circumstances to determine whether you are in God's will for your life or you are outside God's will for your life. Very important. Are you learning something? Let me say 2 more things that you should not use. What we call fleas. You heard of fleas? Fleas. F-L-E-E-C-E. F-L-E-E-C-E. To throw a fleas. And we got that from what Gideon did. Gideon wanted to go for battle. And he told God, if I'm going to win, I'm going to pour water. How many know that story? I'm going to keep this cloth, and if by tomorrow the cloth is wet and the ground is not wet, then I will know that you want me to win. You know that kind of thing. And he did it and it worked. He said, let's do it again. Tomorrow I'm going to keep this cloth. If by tomorrow the ground is wet but the cloth is not wet, I will not want me to win. And God obeyed. God did it for him. Many believers have used that as a way to find out God's plan for their life. Very terrible thing to do. So you say, Lord, as I'm stepping out, if it is your will for me, let Pastor just look at me and smile. Once Pastor looks at me, let me tell you, there are people that have tried this and eventually they got it right with God. It can happen. But it's not God's ultimate way. And I'll tell you why it's not God's ultimate way. Anything can affect circumstances. Anything can make Pastor smile at you. I get what I'm saying now. You can use that. It is
spiritual immaturity
to try to find God that way.
It's immaturity. It's childishness.
So, Lord, I want to, if this is your will, as I step out now, let rain start falling.
Why not try that in dry season? Why do you always try that in rainy season? It's because somehow in your heart you know that there is something off about that.
You know, that's what I always tell about the person that was opening his Bible. Amen. Do you remember that story? He got his Bible. He said he was going through a situation, so he wanted to know what God wants him to do. So he flipped the Bible open. That is, this is not true. It's fictional. And the first part, his eye fell on, is, and Judas went and hung himself. So he closed it. No. That has to be a coincidence. He didn't open it well. So he shook the Bible again.
You know, didn't I even see people do this stupid thing where they say they hang Bible.
Have you seen that kind of thing?
And then they'll turn the Bible. Then if they want to catch who stole something, if the Bible points out, have you ever seen that kind of thing? That is totally demonic. You can't use the Bible that way. The Bible is for reading. It's not for pillow. It's not for bulletproof. I guess it's not for incantation. It's for reading and studying. So I'm going to turn the Bible if it points at you. And some of you are okay with it because it's the Bible they're using. That's occultism. Even if it's a pastor doing it, that's full-blown occultism. He might be aware, he might not be aware. I'm just telling you. So he opened that Bible and the first thing he saw is Judas went and hung himself. He closed it back, saying, "No, God doesn't want me to come inside." He opened the Bible again. The next verse, his eyes fell on his, "Go and do thou likewise." So he closed it again. And he opened it a third time. And his eyes fell on, "Whatever thou doest, do quickly." So in other words, he should hurry up to hang himself. "I'll close it and run away." How many of us find God? Now, imagine if he had opened that Bible and coincidentally his eyes fell on, "I am with thee to the end of it." He said, "Oh, God has spoken to me." God spoke to him nothing. I get the point. He was just, you don't gamble into the plan of God for your life. Don't to cast a fleece. He said, "But Gideon did it in the Bible." Well, Gideon to start with was in the Old Testament. Number two is that Gideon was the only one that did that in the Bible. Was the only one. And I can tell you, God can come down to your level in some situations just because that's where you are. You really need help. You just intervene. But that's not his ultimate way. You can't possibly want to get married as I walk into church today. The first lady to greet me. God help you, that it's not my wife that greeted you. Because maybe my wife now says, "Hey, how are you doing?" You say, "Oh, maybe that's the plan of God for you." The plan of God for your life is that you die young. I will kill you. Thank you. Don't mention. I'm just saying. So, there is a way to know God's plan. Right? You don't know God's plan by throwing a fleece. So, I'm just going to do. Hey, some people even do the worst. I've seen that one. Some of you are too superstitious. You're about to leave your house and your leg hit a stone. You say, how many of you still think that way? Sometimes. Maybe your left leg hit a stone. You ignore it. You go again, you hit a stone again. Then you hit another stone. You say, I'm going back. Check two things, or three things, if you keep your leg keeps it in stone. Number one, check the road you are walking. Number two, check your walking step. Then check the footwear you are wearing. If you check this, you know why your leg is in it. That's nonsense. God cannot reach you that way. Or your eye is twitching. Say, "My left eye just..." That's why they told us that if your hand starts scratching you, it means money is coming. My hand should scratch me. You see, believers come under that kind of crazy stuff. So if your hand doesn't scratch you, it means money is not coming. You'll be broke for long ago. I went out of your hand scratch you. And maybe your hand will scratch you all the time. It may be a sign of one sickness. You're about to have stroke. That's why you always have that sensation in your hand. You better.
Are you following me now? I'm helping you. See, if you wear back of clothes, what does it mean? Someone's about to dash your money. Does this not sound ridiculous to you? But you cannot believe it. But look at the point here. Has it ever worked for you? Say the truth. Uh-huh. Have you ever worn back of clothes? Somebody dash your money? Eh? Has anyone ever scratched out you got money? Let me see if that has happened to you. Some of it has never happened to you. Now, the next question I'm going to ask you. Has there been days your hand did not scratch you, you didn't wear back of clothes, and somebody said that should be money? Next question. Has there been days your hand scratch you and scratch you and scratch you, and nobody dashed you anything? So there is nothing to it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Because there are days your hand will scratch you and scratch you. You know, but nobody's dashing you nothing. That's not how to find divine leading. Are you following me? But let me add one more thing that will help you. How else does God not want to lead you? Prophets. Prophets, write it. I'm a prophet too, but write it. God doesn't want to lead you through prophets, men of God, pastor, apostle. There is a role the apostle, I explained this in the book, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, there is a role they have to play in the body of Christ. That role is not to replace the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? Where you want to travel, you now come and meet me and say, Pastor, I want to go to, is it, who's that declare? Is road clear? Is not clear. Don't go anywhere. That's Babalawoism. That's not being a man of God. Because many people have used the prophetic ministry in some very indecent ways. I'm not saying they're not of God, but some of those means are quite very indecent. That's not how to use the prophetic. I get to the point. Because what you're going to produce, for instance, believers who are over-dependent on you. And the problem you don't realize is that the same way you can hear from God, prophet can hear from God, the prophet can also miss it sometimes. Now, is there an office of the prophetic? Yes, there's an office called the prophet's office. But that office does not exist for leading believers. Now, let me explain it to you. What do I mean? How do I explain this now? I can prophesy to you and say, you know, thus says the Lord, in 2 days, that can happen. But in my note, I said, you cannot depend too much on the prophetic. That's number one. Number two, when the prophetic comes, the prophetic ministry must either confirm what you've already known in your spirit, or your spirit must confirm it at that point it's coming. So what I mean is, if I give you a prophetic word and your spirit revolts against it, don't take it. Reject it. It doesn't matter the caliber of the prophet I gave it to you. Are you following what I'm saying? Please follow this very carefully. So if I come to you and tell you, thus says the Lord, God starts selling shoe. Now, if you've never heard that God wants you to sell shoe before, it's fine. Sometimes you can hear it first from my prophet. But if you go back home, and you pray, and after pray, you don't still feel like selling shoe. Don't sell shoe. And I'm telling you plainly. So I'm not saying God cannot speak to a prophet to speak to you. But God cannot commit everything about your leading and direction to a prophet. God doesn't do that. Are you following what I'm talking about? Are you following me? There are many things I want to teach you in this series. I don't know if maybe I may get to that today. Even there are people that parade themselves now as interpreters of dreams. See, if you see dream, call me to interpret it for me. There's no ministry like that in the New Testament. Not one ministry like that. There was nobody in the New Testament that had a dream that someone interpreted it for. Go and check your Bible. The only two people we see that people interpreted dreams for was Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar. These are hidden kings. Are you following me? There is nobody that has a ministry of interpreting dreams. So how are dreams interpreted? I will show you. Just stay with me. So all these prophetic razzmatazz all over the place. Say, you know, you want to travel, you want to get married. I've had people do that. Come to me, bring three pictures. Say, this one is this, that, this one is that. Which one is my husband? Three of them.
Zacharias says three of them. It's three of them. So if I tell you it's three of them, you will say no. It tells you that you know that I can be wrong. So you go find out the one it is. It is as a matter of principle, I have never prophesied to anybody about who they will marry. Never. And I will know that Jesus comes. Are you following me? Yeah, I don't believe in that. Don't use the prophetic. There is a way to. He says, but in the Old Testament, I know. Let me explain this to you. The prophet in the Old Testament was a seer. Follow what I'm going to show you. And he was the only way through which God could reach the people. Do you know why? Because those people in the Old Testament were not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So because God cannot talk to them, they were not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So God had to raise certain prophets that he will come upon them from time to time and they can hear from him and tell the people. Now, that's why in the Old Testament, had prophets like Samuel, like Elijah, I get the point, who will just hear from God and tell the people. But you see, currently in the New Testament, it's a bit different. Not a bit, it's totally different. Because every New Testament believer now is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So there is still a job of the prophet, which I'm getting to much later, not today. But it's not to sit down and begin to tell believers, go right, don't go left, sit down, move now, eat, don't eat, wear clothes, go naked. That's not the job of a prophet. Can he flow by word of knowledge and word of wisdom? Yes. But let me give you an example. Acts chapter 21. But this one is very instructive. I always use it to teach. Acts 21. Are you there? Verse 10. I'll wait for you to open it. Acts 21, verse 10. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me read to you with New Living Translation. But I want you to be looking at your Bible as I'm reading it. Now, listen carefully. Several days later, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea. He came over, took Paul's belt, and bound his own feet and hands with it. Then he said, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles. So he prophesied that Paul was going to be, that if he goes to Jerusalem, and truly, Paul was going to Jerusalem. So he prophesies that the owner of this belt is going to Jerusalem, and then when he gets there, they're going to arrest him and they're going to put him in prison. In fact, they're going to hand him over to the Gentiles. Now, verse 12, when we heard this, we and the local believers all begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. But he said, why all this weeping? You are breaking my heart. I am not only ready to be jailed at Jerusalem, but I'm even ready to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. So when it was clear that we couldn't persuade him, we gave up and said the Lord should be done. So Paul had the prophetic word that he was going to be killed in Jerusalem, arrested in Jerusalem, but he still went. You know why? He told them, if you read further, you see where he told them, number one, that God already told him from the beginning of his ministry that he will be persecuted everywhere he goes. So Agabus' prophecy was correct. He was just confirming what Paul already knew. I get the point. And Paul did not subject his moves to what the prophet said. Now, this is very important. Now, do I believe in the prophetic? Totally. Do I prophesy to people? Totally. I get the point. Do I receive prophetic words? Yes. But do I also teach people to know that they have the Holy Ghost in them and they can judge what I say? Yes. If I ask you not to judge what I say, I'm actually declaring myself infallible. I feel what I'm saying. So in other words, if I tell you to jump up now, just jump. You know, if I teach that kind of ministry, I can become big and become very rich in a very short time. But I can simply tell you that the Holy Ghost said you should bring all your money to me. Now, can the Holy Ghost tell you to bring all your money to your pastor? Yes. Can I tell you that? Yes. Well, what should you do when I tell you that? Check your own spirit, because you're not God's grandchild. You are God's child too. You're not keeping malice with God. Are you following what I'm saying now? Yes. So this over dependence on prophets, and I see that mostly coming from the elderly ones, and some of the younger ones are learning it. They line up with the prophet. What is the Lord saying? And I've seen this set of ministry pattern break up families, mess families up. I've seen it happen a lot. So when I'm talking, you know what I'm saying. I've intervened in a few. Break families up. Mess them up. Say, the reason you are going to hell is your mother-in-law. The reason it's not working for you is that your daughter-in-law. Since they married her into your family, your family has got. That's the reason. Because they just want to hear. And let me even tell you something. The danger with setting up that kind of ministry where people always come and say, hear from God for me, is that it puts you under pressure to always hear. And once you come under pressure to always hear, the days you do not hear from God, you hear from familiar spirits. Keep this in I say somewhere. It will help you one day. Because if you... some people are under... See me? One thing that has helped in ministry, I'm not under pressure to do anything. You see, if I come up to this stage, I said this when we had a mashup on Saturday night. I came up and I told you guys, tonight, I don't know if we are going to have a Holy Ghost meeting as such. I'm not under pressure to make people fall down. If I come to a meeting and the Lord doesn't lead me in that way, I will do my preaching and I will go. And you've seen me do that. I'm not under pressure to do anything. I'm not under pressure to heal you. If I don't feel that healing anointing flow, I'm going to leave it. I get the point. You can come here and you are, I am not under pressure. You know why I'm not under pressure to do that? I know God can reach you in many ways. It might be that word that I'm going to teach that will eventually settle your situation and you go home. But when you put yourself as a prophet, where you are under pressure, whether God, you know, I follow Kenneth Hagin very closely. I followed till now. Sometimes you see him say, if I don't feel the anointing to do this, I'm not going to do it at all. And I've as I'm growing every day in ministry, I'm learning that much more. But when you say Tuesday is for prophetic, now I've been in a meeting and the Lord led me and I prophesied to every single person in that meeting. I've done it. Not once, not twice, not three times. I can do that. Now, there is such flow. But I cannot say every Tuesday, come to my office, I'm going to prophesy to you. So you just come and say, sir, check. Is my head correct? It's not correct. Sir, check. I have three businesses. Which one should I do? Three of them. You know, all of those things. It puts you under pressure. I'm saying it to any minister that will hear me. Under serious pressure. One of the greatest prophets that I've seen is Kenneth Hagin. But I've also watched Mrs. Jay Kenneth Hagin preached and left. I don't sense no anointing to do that. To do any of those things. And he will go. There are also meetings that he will get into. He will struggle to even utter a word from the Bible. He will, from the beginning of the meeting, there will be such flows till he's done. There are meetings that they've held, I've watched, that they couldn't close the meeting. Have you seen that clip? He will say, "You come help us close the meeting." And then you pick it, you are off. Nobody could close the meeting. They just went home. You carry the mic. Okay, let us. Now imagine every day he says, "Today nobody will close meeting." You can't do that every day. You come under pressure. Because some people to fall down. You now begin to push them. Say, today is for falling. Today is Holy Ghost meeting. Must. Bring your head. They push. You say, I'm not receptive. You're not receptive. Open your heart. They've opened it. It's not coming. Don't come under that kind of pressure. And then you man of God, you believer, don't also be that kind of person who is going from place to place looking for prophecy. So what is God saying about my career? What's God saying about my job? What's God saying about my marriage? He's saying you should lose your job, lose your marriage, and die. That's what he's saying. So you don't want to have sense. Listen, you're not keeping malice with God. And God is not keeping malice with you. The thing is that even if you're keeping malice with God, he will not keep malice with you. Like if you say, God, I'm not talking to you again for the next 2 days, he will still be talking to you. Can you see now? So you have to learn how to hear him. Another anomaly I've seen with this prophet thing, I mentioned that on Thursday, and it bears repeating, is the idea of looking for a prophetic word from every prophet on the street. So any prophet can prophesy to you. You just go on Facebook and somebody just says, I have a prophetic word for the first 10 people to comment amen. And you go and you commented amen. You. After being under the sun, you commented amen. You're not learning anything. He says, sir, but who knows? Who knows what? I've asked you this many, many times. Many, many times. If a father wants to pass an important message to the son, I mean your biological father, will he send somebody you don't know? He will send somebody you know. That's why most cases of the prophetic you find in the Bible, all of them are localized. Even this case of Agabus, it was in the church that thing happened. Paul came to the church and Agabus was there. He was known in the church. It's not just any kind of crazy guy, anybody. Some of them are even from God. Do you know, as a matter of principle, I don't prophesy to any kind of person. No. My major prophetic ministry is over you, my people. Then if any pastor invites me to their church, he has given me access to the people, at least for that time that I'm there, for the 1 hour or 2 hours I have there, I can do whatever God wants me to do there. I feel what I'm saying. When I'm done, I go home. Amen. So what if you're a prophet over the nations? I'll come to that matter later, but not today. But before you claim that you're a prophet over the nations, be sure the nations can hear you. Did you hear what I said? Don't stay here now, like as I'm here now. I'm a blessed man of God. But I can tell you that the president of Brazil is not listening to me now. So what is the point standing here saying there is a word of God for Brazil? In the forthcoming election, the president should do this and do that. Why? And when it happens, I will now come and say, I said it and it happened. So, why do you think God speaks? Let's leave this matter. Because you guys will just hate me this morning. Now, many these people do that. I really don't see the point. The prophetic is not for show. It is to help the people of God. I can see the point. See, if God is going to give me a word for Brazil and the president, then he has to give me access to the man. Or there has to be a way. For instance, God can give me a word now for the governor of Enugu State. I know how we can get to him. I get what I'm saying now. But God, and I say God give me a word to who now? To Trump. I'll not chat him up. Say there's a word for you. There are about 1,700 of you doing that at the moment, talking to Trump, telling him there's a word. I'm looking for attention. Now, I'm saying the prophetic ministry should have some sort of order, right? And some sort of sanity around it. Now, I want you to listen carefully. You know, there are many things that I feel the Lord is allowing me to say this morning. That is not even part of my teaching. Listen to this. Listen. All this, maybe if election is coming up, do you know why a prophet can prophesy about who the next president will be? And that person will not be president. But in the Old Testament, the prophet will prophesy and it will happen. Let me tell you why. Israel practiced theocracy. I got what I'm saying. Theocracy simply means the government of God. So it is the prophet that installs the king. Are you following me? We practice democracy. It is the people that install the king. So if a prophet is prophesying, a prophet can prophesy about the election and prophesy what he believes is the plan of God. When he prophesies that, he must loud it and convince the people to vote for that person. Because if they vote on another person, that person will still win, even though it's not the will of God. Are you following me this morning at all? Because it's the government of the people. And God will back that person that people have chosen. Amen. A country that practices what do they call it again? I'm not a government student. So what is this kind of government succession and all of that? Monarch. Mean it that you're saying. Say it loud. Be bold about it. Announce your name and say it. Monarchy. Okay. You know, we already know how the king is being the next king is going to be chosen. We already know that. So it's not a prophet or no prophet thing. I'm teaching you there are boundaries. So you now that is a believer. If in politics there are boundaries of prophetic movement, in your own life too now. Any prophet from nowhere can just say, because he called your name correctly and told you the school you attended and told you your phone number and told you the name of your wife, you now say, talk to me, sir. You know what you don't realize? Any diviner can do that. Any native doctor can do that. So don't be blown away by that. Now, is there a real prophetic movement here? Ministry? Yes. But just know that if God is going to, let me give you a general counsel. If it is a matter that has to do with your marriage, your ministry, your destiny, your future, hear from God yourself. And if you're going to hear from a prophet, let it be someone that you've been submitted under for long, that knows you. I get what I'm talking about. That God can speak to you through the person. Not just anybody from the street that sees you and say, that wife you are marrying is the reason you are suffering. Amen. I said amen. Are you learning something now? Yeah. You know, the thing about it is, the early Christians that were in Nigeria, you know, the days of the scripture union and all of that, they didn't have all this craze, all this things, but these guys got it right because they just learned how to study their Bible and to pray. I get the point. They didn't have any prophet telling them that is this. And some of this, my major pain with this prophetic thing is that it produces very lazy Christians. That's my major problem. So somebody will sleep. You slept the sleep. You dream. You dreamed. Abby dreamed the dream. You wake up. You now come and tell me the dream. And ask me to tell you the meaning. Did I sleep the sleep with you? No, I'm not going to tell you the meaning. You should be able to. It's lazy Christianity. That's what I call it. If God is faithful enough to show you a dream, then he's faithful enough to tell you the meaning of the dream. And that's what I believe. And I'm going to show you how. You know, I can buy a book, Dreams and Interpretation. You know that book? Say, when you see apple, apple means good news. When you see snake, serpentine spirit. When you see dog, immorality. You know those things. When you see cats, when you eat in the dream, when you now eat meat in the dream, that is a whole new level. You are eating human meat. When you swim, how many of you have been delivered from this thing, from this thought pattern? Because if you're here, I would have helped you. Total nonsense. Balderdash. If you have those books, burn them up. Tear them. With no respect to whoever wrote it. Yes. There's nothing like that. I don't know how we come up with those things. And they're selling. You know why? Lazy Christianity. And then you just want, and they tell you, for this particular one, fast 6 to 6. Who told the person? Have you ever asked yourself, how did the person know that 6 to 6 can deal with this particular one? That's what that some you see, they say, fast, do carry over fasting. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't follow those things. So, if God is faithful enough to give me a dream, God is faithful enough to tell me the meaning. Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, interpreted the dreams of the fellow prisoners. When Joseph had his own dream, he didn't ask his father for the interpretation. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. When Peter had a dream in Acts chapter 10, he knew the meaning. How did he know? We're going to see that very shortly. Amen. Have you been blessed? Okay, I'll just take like 20 more minutes. Because you know, I've not actually started teaching. I'm just trying to tell you how God does not speak. But don't worry. We have Thursday. So whatever I stop today will stop. Is that okay? So just 20 more minutes. But it's so important I emphasize it. A lot of believers are just all over the place looking for what is not lost. And you've not yet seen that the undertone of all these things that all the prophets do is your money they're looking for. Have you not found out? Is any of them free? Have you not seen that it's money? It's money. Or be under all these things. In fact, when they give you word once, twice, the third one, your money is coming out. Amen. Now, am I against giving to a man of God? How can I? I'm a man of God. Give to me. But not with the prophetic. If I'm part of my general principle, my principle as a man of God, I teach all my sons. One of the worst times to ever receive seed from people is when you give them prophetic word. I don't believe in that. Let me tell you another time. One of the worst times to raise seed is when a miracle has happened. It's one of the worst times. I just come here, I pray. Blind person begins to see. Deaf person is hearing. Everybody's celebrating. I say, come and keep 100,000. Everybody's going to come. But they're so hyped up. I don't believe in that. Because once you do that, it will eventually begin to look like what happened is for sale. I get what I'm saying now. And it's not for sale. It's not for sale. Freely have you received. Freely should you give. But God will help us. So God leads us through our spirit. Through our spirit. So I told you, man is a spirit. My heart is for man lives in a body. When you become born again, that your spirit, you know, comes alive. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, it said the spirit, now watch this, the spirit beareth witness with our spirit. So there are two spirits there, but it's not the same thing. The first one is the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, our human spirit, that has now been renewed. And I think that's Romans 8 verse 16. He said the spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So, for instance, how do you know that you are a child of God? There is a witness of the Spirit in your heart. The Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. That same way that the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit, that's the same way the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit is concerning every other matter. The same way the Holy Ghost, you know, think about this. One of the most important things that could happen to a believer is salvation. To any human being is salvation. And yet, how God communicates that reality to the believer is through his spirit man. Now, if something as important as salvation, God communicates it through your spirit, how else do you think he will communicate to you about your finance, about your marriage? It's the same means. I feel what I'm saying. So the Bible speaks of an inward, there's an inward man. Please open your Bible so you can see this. Romans 7 verse 22. Romans 7 verse 22. That is an inward man. That is that your human spirit. The spirit of man. That's the man on the inside. So the Bible calls it the inward man. Romans 7 verse 22. Are you there now? Are you there now? I'm reading it to you. He said, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Let me read with NLT. NLT said, I love God's law with all my heart. So NLT calls it heart. Amplified Classic says, for I endorse and delight in the law of God in my inmost self. That's with my new nature. So that is an inward man. That inward man is perfect when you get born again. Not to everybody. When you get born again, that inward man is perfect. That inward man loves God. It is through that inward man that God will communicate everything he wants to tell you. Now, I want you to follow this. This is very simple to understand. So there is an inward man, the new nature. The Bible also speaks of that in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Where Paul was talking about the persecutions that they were going through. So I read it to you. He said, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So there's an inward man. That's the point I'm trying to make. There's a man inside of you. That's a new nature you carry. It's your spirit. It is through that now the Holy Spirit communicates to that your spirit. So start with that your spirit is even one with the Holy Spirit. So it's by that your spirit that you know things. That's how God speaks. So whatever God wants to communicate, he communicates to that your spirit. That spirit in you, that your inward man. That's how God speaks. Now there are different operations of that inward man. For instance, that inward man has a witness. We call it the inward witness. The inward witness. The inward witness. So what is the inward witness? Just like every human being, let me explain it to you. How many of you had parents, I think this will help some of you. How many of you had parents that communicated to you with their eyes? They don't say much. They just look at you and nod their head. You can, in fact, you can write an essay on that head and that nod. You can write a full essay. Sometimes they just make one statement and it means a million things. You say, You know, sometimes the way you know that your mother doesn't want you to eat when you go to a friend's house is when she says eat. Say eat now. You know, I tell you, say, no, I don't want to eat. So there's your own mother telling you to eat, but you know you're about to die when you get home. Now, she's just using you are using her reaction to find out what actually is happening. My dad had one look. If he gives you that look, you will die almost immediately. So, you know, if we are in the parlor and the visitor comes, I don't know how they change kids of nowadays, but when a visitor comes in, your dad's visitor comes in, where should you be? Anywhere but that parlor. Be outside, be in heaven, be in hell, but don't be in that parlor. And sometimes when you forget, the man doesn't say anything. He just looks at you and you get up. That eye communicates deeply. So he's bearing witness with your spirit that you leave that room. So point is, there are non-verbal communications. Right? But it's communication all the same. Now that's what I can liken the inward witness to. It is a reaction of your spirit. A reaction of your inward man to whatever you expose it to. So someone offers you a job. Sometimes you may not hear, my son, take it. But there is a reaction that may come from your spirit. Are you following what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about your mind. On Thursday, I'm going to show how to differentiate between this and your mind. Because that is a way. It's actually tough for many people, but it's not. It's not your mind, though. Your spirit will just react. It didn't say anything. But you just know. It's like a red light. You know, when you're on traffic, when you see the red light, you should know you should just stop. It is non-verbal communication. When you see the green light, you should keep moving. There is that red, there is that green, there is that yellow in your spirit. Is it yellow or amber? Eh? Is there any color called amber? What are the seven colors of the rainbow? Where is amber there? Well, let's just be going. It's not Roy. And they did it in red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, even though you don't know what is indigo, but let's say indigo and violet. What color is indigo? Who is wearing indigo now in church? You see, there is no color like that. Where? Who? Pastor Mara. The stage is indigo. One side is indigo. If you are not feeling fine, all of us are confused. Indigo. Well, so there is that red, there is that green, there is amber. That's what they say, I should call it. In your spirit. No, it's there. No, so when you see, when the traffic light turns red, you don't need to hear anything to know that you should stop. Now, when you expose your spirit to things, it will react. That reaction is what we call the witness of your spirit. For instance, the Bible said the Holy Ghost, that's Romans 8:16, that the spirit bears witness to the spirit of our children of God. So the spirit doesn't announce to you, my son, you're a child of God. But there is just something, there is a knowing in your heart that you're a child of God. So let's see like two places where this thing played out. One of them is, of course, Acts 17 verse 16. If you read the book, I use this particular scripture to teach on this too. Acts 17, 16. He said, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, watch this. His spirit was, read with me, was what? Stirred in him when he saw the whole city giving the idolatry. The Bible didn't say he heard a voice. His spirit was stirred within him. He just got there and there was a reaction his spirit gave. Of course, from the next verse, he began to preach to them. He just knew that that's tearing in his spirit. So he saw something. What did he see? The city giving the idolatry. Then his spirit reacted. Then his spirit reacted. He knew what it meant. Of course, verse 17, he began to preach to them every day in the synagogue. Every day. That he didn't need to hear, thus says the Lord. That thought, that reaction of the spirit was God talking to him. Are you following what I'm saying? So I can, this is actually how I make almost all my decisions. If not all of them. Sometimes I stand there and tell you guys, you know, thus says the Lord, this and that. Sometimes I may not necessarily hear, my son, go. But somebody can present something to me. Something happens to you. It's like you are discussing with someone and the person says something. And it's like a light, something lights up in your heart immediately about the matter. Your spirit just reacts somehow. It's like there's a smile from your spirit over that matter. Respond to it. Are you following me? Now, the problem is many of us don't value this. Because what we're expecting is to hear voices. And that's the problem. God speaks to you through your inward man. And every father-son relationship has some solid non-verbal communications. Are you aware? I just gave yourself with your parents. Every father-son relationship. Do you know that as I'm standing here, and most married people and most close friends can relate, I can stand here and communicate to my wife fully without talking to her. I just tell her. She will just go. Do you know this happens everywhere? In fact, even at the moment, with some of the instrumentalists, they can pick my non-verbal communication. Because once there is an established relationship, they know that it's a way I'm going to just turn my face. They know that it's not working today. Now, that is relationship. So, if the instrumentalists always wait for me to tell them, when I just give that sign, they did not get it. They want me to speak verbally. I say, Felix, what are you playing? Imagine I have to do that all the time. Now, that's how some of us want God to talk to us all the time. Are you feeling what I'm talking about? You guys are in a crowd. Your father is giving you sign. Maybe there's a crowd. There's some unintelligent children. Your father is giving you sign. You're just saying, hey, Daddy, why are you turning your eyes like that? you will die when you get home. Just back out of the house. That is why a blinking eye for me. That's very on, and that's why some people are spiritually unintelligent. Your inward man is witnessing to something. They are saying, God, please speak to me. He's already showing you. He's already reacting. I feel what I'm talking about. So, actually, when your dad, oh my God, you know, you can go out with, we've gone to a place for evangelism. We are five. And they brought a poison food for us. And when they brought it, I wasn't the leader there, but I picked that it was poisoned. So I was just thinking of how to tell my leader. And she's very special. She picked it too. She just gave all of us one look. We didn't touch that food. I get the point. Just one look. I hope you will get it. Before we just go and I'm giving you. You say, ah. There's something enter your eye. Every solid relationship, there are non-verbal communications. I get what I'm saying now. Now, that's your inward witness. So, Paul did not hear my son begin to preach here. Immediately, his spirit stirred within him. He knew what that thing meant. Let me show you another one. Acts 18, verse 5. Still Apostle Paul. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. He was pressed in the spirit. So there was not, he didn't hear any voice, but he was pressed in the spirit. And he began to preach. So sometimes it can just be a burden that falls on you over a matter. Do you know you can just see someone and you just feel this heaviness to pray for that person? Don't wait until you hear a voice. Your spirit is reacting. It's talking to you without talking. I feel what I'm talking about. Do you know sometimes when I tell you that the Lord led me, the Lord said I should give you this. Sometimes I don't hear nothing. But I can just see you and I just feel that pressing in my spirit. I have this person. Another way to explain this in world witness, another way it manifests itself is in what I call, I'm already talking about it, perceptions. Where you just perceive things. What do I mean by that? When you just know things without knowing how you know them. I just know that this should not be. Does it happen to you? You just finished praying over a matter. You did not hear any voice. You did not hear thus says the Lord. But you just know. You know, the Bible talking about it in Acts 8 verse 23. When Peter saw Simon that was following Philip around and was asking for money, was asking for the gifts of the Spirit. Peter made a statement in Acts 23. He said, I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness. He didn't say, I hear from the Lord. He didn't say, thus says the Lord. He said, I perceive. Some people will say, I sense. I get what I'm saying now. Start strong sensing. Where you know things without being able to explain how you know it, but you know it. You know, in Acts 21, 27 rather, verse 10, Paul was traveling with these guys on the high sea. And he stood up and told them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage is going down. I perceive that there is danger ahead. There was nothing happening, but he said, I perceive. So he told them, of course, they didn't listen to him. And they ran into big trouble. Maybe because he did not fall down to say, Shandaraba, Shandaraba, Kondo. If he had done that and said, ah, you, your name is Julius Caesar. You, your name is Maccabees. You, your after prophet, they'll say, ah, sir. What did the Lord say? He said, don't move. Don't move. Don't move. I had it three times in my spirit. Maybe you'll believe. But because he came out simply, he said, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt. He said, what's this man saying? That knowing. Are you following me? That knowing. Especially when you are done praying over a matter. Are you following me? Now, this is why I took time in the last two sessions to tell you to keep your spirits, to keep your heart in a condition where you always know this. If you had obeyed what I taught last time and the other time too, you always be able to know that knowing. I was talking to you last time about being full of the Spirit. Remember that? If you are just full of the Spirit, you're spending your time praying a lot, studying the Bible, rejoicing, speaking the word, your heart will always know things. Sometimes the thing is not looking good on the outside, but it's looking good on the inside. Sometimes it looks bad on the outside and looks bad on the inside. It can happen. Sometimes he looks good on the inside and looks good on the outside. It can happen. Or sometimes he might not look good on the inside, but he looks very good on the outside. Oh, I've seen that one a lot. I can give you many examples of that, but maybe because of our time, not today. He may not look good on the outside, but on the inside, he's looking so good. So good. You just know. You don't know how you know. You know that this knowing is not with your mind, but you just know it. That's the inward witness. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to that. Are you following me? Pay attention to that. Those are non-verbal communications of the Spirit. It exists in every solid relationship. Are you following me? Non-verbal. But you can write a full note about what the person just said. Are you following me? I can walk up to you and tell you, you know, God doesn't want me to do this and do that. And you say, how did you know? Did he speak to you? He say, yes. I'll tell you yes. But if you press forward, I will tell you I didn't hear any voice audibly. But I just know. How can you, the way people say, how are you sure that what you know, I'm very sure that what I know is correct. Are you following me? How are you sure what you know is correct? How are you sure when your daddy tells you to move without talking, how do you know it's correct? I get to the point. When the traffic light turns green, how do you know it's time to move? There are things you can read without hearing anything. Once you are in a relationship with someone, you can hear things without them being said. Because there is a winner. That spirit, the spirit of the person will react and respond to something. Even my pastors now can pick. If I come into church now, some of my pastors can look at me and tell, look at what pastor thinks about what is going on. I can come into church and sit down here and the pastor start running helter-skelter. I've not given any instruction. But maybe I could just look at, I can look at something happening there and remove my eye, and you see 3 minutes, they will stand up immediately. You know why? They've known that the way pastor looked at this and removed his eyes, something is off about it. How you follow what I'm saying? And it's everywhere. So it also exists in your flow with the Lord. That's your inward witness. Of course, that is the inward voice. When you hear God in your inward man, that is that one. That is the inward voice and the inward vision. Where God just speaks to you. Now, this one, now I'm emphasizing inward voice, not outward voice. It's not hearing from your ear. Thus says the Lord, my son, move. Inward voice. Inward voice. Inward voice. Inward voice. You just hear it in your spirit. Sometimes it's even authoritative. I get to the point. I say, go and get this stone. So that is inward witness. That is inward voice. God speaks to us through both of them. That is inward vision. The inward man. I will explain this word on Thursday, but the Lord said I should mention it if I go today. There can be, because I'm closing already, there can be spectacular leadings. What I mean is, yes, you can be standing now and somebody appears to you and speaks to you and says, my son, that can happen. But listen, that is not a common occurrence. It shouldn't happen all the time. Two things I'm going to say. It's not something that happens all the time. Do you know how many times God speaks to the average believer in a day? Are you aware? God speaks to the average believer in a day sometimes over 30 times. If you're listening. I'm not joking. I mean over small things. Now imagine if he has to appear to you all the time like that to talk to you. I feel what I'm saying. So it's not a usual occurrence. You must master how to use your inward man. Second thing I will say is, don't seek it. Don't seek spectacular occurrence. God, the one wanted to speak to me. Please appear to me. Appear to me. Mm-mm. You are now Babalawo. Orisha Gbogbo. That's what I'm doing. That's not how God speaks. Appear to me now. Appear to me now. That's not it. Stop seeking that. Because half of the times you are looking for God to come to you by spectacular guidance, he has given you a word to your spirit already. Are you following what I'm saying now? So, don't seek it.
Now, when it comes, when the spectacular comes, it can happen to you. In fact, before you are done with your Christian life on earth, it will happen to you. I've seen angels. I didn't pray to see them. Now you will see. That is not even prayer point. I get to the point. Once you have a walk with God, before you are done, one day, who has ever heard the audible voice of God with your physical ear? One day you will hear. It's not a big deal. I've heard it only, I think, once. Yes. Is it once? Yes, once actually. November 17th, 2006. Amen. In the night. And I know what he told me. And I am so sure he came to me by that audible voice because I needed to be encouraged. Because all my friends were saying, the Lord appeared to me. The Lord spoke to my ear. And nobody gave up this teaching. So may I say, am I a spoon? So I began to seek that God should talk to me in my physical ear. I've told you the story. I sought it for long. I would finish praying and I would lie down and say, Father, I'm waiting. Then I'll sleep. One day I got under the bed, literally. I said, Lord, I'm not coming up from under this bed until you speak to me. I slept. And I heard when they were calling my name to come and carry my food. The other day I got into my wardrobe. That was the height of it. Locked the wardrobe. Say, Lord, if you like the fact that I'm here, I'll be here. And all I was asking, I was praying one simple prayer. God, what do you want to use me for? Tell me. I stayed in there. I slept again. That wardrobe was very comfortable. Very, very comfortable because it was very scattered. You know, when clothes is scattered, so I can just lie on it and sleep. So when I was tired, I was done with trying. I even tried that opening Bible thing. No, sincerely. My own worked for me. But I opened John 21. Where the Lord said, Simon, do you love me more than this? Feed my lamb. I said, thank you, Lord. But that day, November 17, 2006, the Lord spoke to me. I was in a meeting, and I heard him, and I saw clearly. But you know, I've learned not to do that. There's no point. Because whatever he said to me was not different from what I already knew in my spirit. So I believe he just showed me that just to encourage this boy. Be Corona for him. Before this guy says he's not doing it again, let's just show him. Well, you know, I'm important to God, you know, right? Do you see yourself like that? I'm very important to God. I'm not indispensable. I'm not irreplaceable, but I'm important to God. Do you understand? God needs me. And God needs you too. But he can replace you if you don't respond. But he needs us. So God knows I'm important to him. So because of that, he said, let me just run it for you. Just here. I was so happy. I just gave you the date. I didn't write it anywhere. It cannot leave my head. November 17, 2006. That day. So I have made you. Hey, to your generation. I won't tell you. Amen. So my counsel is this. When that spectacular comes, another thing I can add to this is dream. When dreams come, what do you do with them? Very simply. Submit those dreams and those spectacular appearances and happenings to your spirit man. Your inward man still has the answer. So I'll show you two scriptures. Your inward man has the answer to your dreams. The problem why many people don't know how to interpret their dreams and spectacular happenings around them is that they try to find the answer to those dreams in the dream. Now, hear this very carefully. Please everybody pay attention. People try to find the answer to their dream in their dream. So, I had a dream where a cat was chasing me. While the cat was chasing me, a dog now appeared and the dog now charged at the cat. As they were now about to fight, an eagle now flew and said, why are you people fighting? And as... So, look at how people try to interpret dreams. They say, okay, cats. What does that mean? What does the dog mean? What's down the ego?
You see, you're going to get very confused. So how do you interpret dreams? The answer to dreams is not in the dream. It's in your inward man. Let me show you in the Bible. Acts chapter, and I'm closing with this actually. Acts chapter 10, verse 10. Thank you, Lord. Have you been blessed today? Hallelujah. I wanted to open it. Acts chapter 10 and verse 10. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you there? Are you there? I'll wait for you a little. Acts 10 verse 10. Are we there now? What did the Bible say? And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So they were preparing food and Peter fell into a trance. He had a dream. Guess the dream he had? He dreamt about food. Because he was obviously hungry. Do you understand? So, we will not doubt that what was happening on the outside affected the content of the dream. But God still had a message for him. Now, in the dream, he dreamt where they brought animals and asked him to kill and eat. Of course, he refused to eat it because, come on, a proper Jew does not eat all those forfeited animals. So, he said no. And God told him, what God has made clean, don't call unclean and all of that. Now, after that dream, look at verse 19. Now, pay attention to this. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So how did Peter get the interpretation to his dream? The Spirit said unto him. He didn't start checking how many animals did I see inside that basket. I saw pig. What does pig mean? Pig means uncleanliness. I saw dog. What does dog mean? He didn't start checking that. The Spirit said, three men seek thee. So he got the answer to the dream. So when you see a dream, when you have a dream, all you have to do is to do what Peter did in verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, think on that vision spiritually. Let me put it that way. I get the point. While you can just be praying in tongues under your breath while you put your mind on the vision. Sometimes you can do that and you find that there is nothing to the vision, to the dream. Just let it go. Sometimes your spirit man. So, how to find interpretation to your dream or to even spectacular happenings around you is to check your spirit man. That your inward man has the answer to whatever is happening on the outside. So, sometimes you will pray. And you have a reaction from your inward man, inward witness. You just get that reaction. There's nothing there. You say, oh, I just leave it. Sometimes you will pray and you begin to get, okay, look at what God wants you to do. God wants you to pray further about this and about this. That's how to go about it. Are you following me? Let me show you one more. This time from the Old Testament. Because you like that one. Genesis 41. We read the story of Joseph, how he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. So, let me refresh your mind. What was Pharaoh's dream? What was Pharaoh's dream? Remember Pharaoh's dream? Let me refresh your mind. Pharaoh's dream, Pharaoh saw seven fat cows and saw seven lean cows. And then the lean cows swallowed, the fat cows. Now, let's forget this Bible now for now. Imagine you give that to a dream interpreter to interpret in our generation. How would they interpret it? What does cow mean? They can even say that what it means is that something good is coming for you. But there is something evil that is about to swallow what is good. We've got to pray. Every lean cow in my life, swallowing up fat cow in my life, die. That's the point. Because you are looking for the answer of the dream in the dream. But the answer of the dream is not in the dream. It's with God. I feel what I'm saying now. So when Joseph was confronted with that dream, let me just read verse 16 for you. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, because in verse 15, Pharaoh said, I heard you can interpret dreams. He said, no, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So it's very clear. It is not me that will interpret. It is God that will bring interpretation. So in other words, the answer is within. So next time you have a dream, or even that dream that has been bothering you for now, take your time and pray. The answer is with you. Now, have I helped a few people interpret their dreams? Yes. Some of you, that some of my sons said that no matter how long I teach this, they will always show up and say, Daddy, this one is heavy. But at the end of the day, the major way God wants to lead you is through your inward man. He will either react or talk to you. You could hear a voice. Or you could see something. Some of you have been praying, and as you are praying, you saw something. You could see, you can see anything. You can be praying and you just see light. How do you know what that light means? Check the source. Who showed you the light? Your inward man. Search that inward man till the answer is there. I feel what I'm saying now. You're praying. And I can be praying now and God speaks to me that way sometimes. I can be praying and I begin to see letters. I begin to see numbers. Yes. I'll just search my spirit. Because I've always explained to you, symbols mean different things in different visions. Do you know in this Pharaoh's dream, cows represented years. That cannot be a general pattern. Now, every time you see cow in your dream, it means year. So that's why you cannot say every time you see snake, it means this. That's nonsense. For all you care, you can see snake in your dream, and it just means that you should be careful that snake will bite you very soon. So fumigate your heart. That's what God is saying. And you can really eat in the dream and there is nothing to it. But you can eat in the dream and there is something to it. You just check your spirit man. And by those that we talk about, make sure that your spirit man is, make sure your mind is renewed. Because if your mind is not renewed, we interpret according to your own renewed mind. What do I mean by that? If someone already has, somebody already believes that snake means serpent spirit, when he sees snake in dream, his spirit, in quote, must interpret that snake to mean whatever. Make sure it's renewed by the word of God. Are you following me? There is, for instance, now, there is no way I can see a dream where I missed rapture and I wake up and I'll cry. It can't happen. My mind is renewed by God's word. If I see a dream where I miss rapture, means that I should start preaching to more people not to miss rapture. It's not me. My mind is renewed by God's word. I'll talk about that on Thursday. But the answer is in your, it's your spirit. So next time you want to make a decision, before you think of calling pastor on the phone, because if notice with the kind of pastor you have, once you call me, first thing I'm going to ask you is, have you prayed? Have you prayed about this? What is God saying about this? Have you, because I know the answer is with you. Such that when God now speaks to me, now have people come to my office and they told me they prayed over a matter and I feel they were wrong? Yes. Have I ever told them that they were wrong? No. What do? I get them to come pray further. The answer is with them. And when you train believers this way, the way I'm training you now, and if you heed to this training, you will be ready to face anything, anywhere and anytime. Whether pastor is there or is not there. I get what I'm saying. Train your spirit. Brother Ekin used to tell us that the Lord told him that if he follows his inward witness, he will make him rich. And I read it in that book and I said, I dare say that it's not only about riches. If you follow your inward man, you will succeed at many things. Because that inward man can never lead you astray. Never. He will show you the deal to invest in and the one to stay out of. He will show you where there is trouble and when there is no trouble. Are you getting the point? Even when you get into trouble, he will lead you out of the trouble. It is like a Google map you carry on your inside that says, at that junction, turn right. Are you following me, friends? At that junction, turn left. Or you keep going straight for 1,000 kilometers. You will, for 1 kilometer, you will hear those voices. Pay attention to them when they come. So what if I miss it? I've taught you this last time. What do you do? When you're traveling with your Google map and it says turn right and you miss it, what do you do? Wait on that Google map. It will reroute and tell you the next turn to make. Your spirit man reroutes too. So when you miss it, don't start crying. Hey, I've missed God. Just stay with that inward man. He will tell you, okay, you should have turned here, but you didn't turn here. But see what you have to do next now. He can be turned back. Are you following me, my friends? He can tell you, turn back. He can say, okay, well, you've missed this, but there's another opportunity in front, so keep going. You can be going to somewhere, in the next, whatever, turn right, and then you didn't turn right. Your map can tell you, keep going, there's another right in front. That when you turn, it will still connect you back to where you're going to. Follow that inward man. Stop waiting for feelings. Are you following the point? Even if your hand is not scratching you and you are not wearing the back of your clothes, I get the point. And the Lord has told you, you sense in your spirit that increase is coming. Increase is coming. You don't need to wear anything. Even if you hit your leg on a stone 10 times and the Lord has told you that He will order your footsteps, just keep going. Your footsteps are ordered by the Lord. Even if you feel fear, you are afraid of traveling, but the Lord has said, go, just go. Your inward man by on Thursday and Sunday, I'll begin to teach you on how to train your mind. To follow the inward man. How to train your mind. How to train your mind. How to train your mind. But Egan calls it how to train your human spirit. To be able to quickly get what God is saying and not miss it. I've done some teachings on that already. But I have to go further in that direction. Say with me, say, I always know what to do. Stand to your feet. Remember what I told you on Thursday? When you are stuck, I don't know what to do. What should you do? Be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? Begin to pray to us and speak God's word. What happens is that when you begin to do that, you steer yourself up to now hear what your inward man is saying. Say, I'm never confused. Do you want to shout out this morning? Say, I know what to do. I will always know what to do. Lift your hands and just pray in the Holy Ghost. We are done. Pray in the Holy Ghost. We are closing already. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Don't sing it or just pray. I want to sing this song. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Sing it.
No, not one.
None else could heal all our souls.
Jesus, no, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He
sing it now.
No, not one.
Sing it again.
No, not one.
Jesus knows.
Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There is not a breath like the Lord.
I'll say this and I close. If you made a decision by the Spirit, and I just said that from the Lord now, and it's looking like things did not work out, but then you are sure you did the right thing by the Spirit,
You've checked again and again. Things didn't work out, but you are so sure you did the right thing by the Spirit. Don't feel bad about that. Never regret any action the Holy Ghost led you to take. Are you following the point? Now, because once he leads, you gain something. To start with, the first thing you actually gain is that you gained obedience. You learned to obey. But then you know something more. At the end of the day, you will see how that made sense. Never feel bad for doing anything God led you to do. Never. Never. I mean, if God tells you to pull out of a trade, you are so sure he told you to. And after that trade begins to do well, don't feel bad for it. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't feel bad. If God says, leave this company, and after you left, they began to do well, don't feel bad. Once you can cross-check, now if you cross-check and you find out that, oh, you didn't hear God correctly, it's okay, you learn your lessons. But if you obeyed God, and it didn't turn out as you planned, don't feel bad for it. The win is obedience. Are you following me this morning? The win is obedience. He will always lead and always follow. Are you blessed this morning? Can we thank God for such mighty utterance we are enjoying since this year started? Thank you for such mighty revelation that we have. Jesus knows all about our struggle. Yes.
He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for light. Thank you. We know you are setting us right for this year. We know we'll follow every step on the way. And one of our major testimonies this year will be that we won by divine leading. Thank you, Lord, for I know this will be our reality. In Jesus' name we pray. Shout a louder amen. Hallelujah. Were you blessed today? Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.